there's no one else to turn to. Who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock I know that's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I hide till the storms have all passed over? Where do I run to when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Fellas, that's a blessing. Amen. I enjoyed that immensely. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 in your Bible tonight. Find that place, second book in the New Testament. And the Gospel of Mark chapter 12. And, you know, it's been a little topsy-turvy recently with the events in the family, but I do not want to lose sight of the theme of this month when it comes to the matter of this consecration restoration. And we're emphasizing in the month of June the matter of giving. The matter of giving. Now, you'd probably rather me stand up here and blubber about the Alzheimer's than preach on giving, but I'm going to be on target tonight with the giving, all right? And that's our emphasis this month. And in the 2 weeks, we're going to have a good time bringing the pigs to the market. I hope your pigs are fattening up, if not full and fat already, and running over. Our pigs are full and running over now into a tin box where we're putting the change that the pigs won't hold any longer. And we're going to bring the pigs to the market. We're going to have a fellowship after the service. We're not going to count all the change. We'll let the bank do that the next day or two. But we'll just get together for some pie and ice cream over in the gymnasium. Just fellowship. We'll have a good time in the service. We're going to have you wear farm clothes that evening, so you can wear your overalls or you can wear your suspenders and the ladies your jean skirts, whatever, and then we'll just have a good time and bring the pigs to the market. And that's in 2 weeks, and I trust that you'll be praying, asking the Lord if you want to do a little extra than the pigs hold. That would be wonderful. Help us as we move forward in the area of retiring the debt here over the next 2 or 3 years. Let's stand together, please. And we're in verse number 41 of the passage here, where the Bible says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, beholding how we give. Beholding how we give. Father, thank you for the passage in our text tonight. Would you please open our hearts, help us to open our hearts, and then you open our understanding, God, so that the truth may be received and the seed fall on good ground and bring forth fruit. Father, thank you for the privilege of giving. Help us to be mature and spiritual in this area. Help us to fill your hand when it comes to giving. We'll thank you for it. Bless the message in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, you understand, folks, that when you talk about the New Testament temple, known as Herod's temple, that the temple, it was more than just one building involved here, okay? This was a complex of two or three buildings. The temple was more than just the holy place and the holy of holies. There were courts and there were porches and there were entrances. There was a place for the Gentiles. There was a place for the women. There was a place for the priestly. There was a place for the animal sacrifices to be slaughtered. It was a tremendous complex. It wasn't just a simple tent like they had in the Old Testament, the tent in the wilderness. This complex, remember when Jesus walked out and he talked about the buildings? Oh, I would destroy them in 3 days. He wasn't talking about the building, talking about his own, his own body, of course, but they talked about the buildings of the temple. So there's several of them. There's several complexes. This is a complex of buildings, okay? And yes, you know, you've got the holy place where the altar of incense and the golden candlestick and the table of showbread were located. You had the thick veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. And where they atone on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go once a year and apply the blood of the sacrifice. And you did have that, but it was more than that. There was more involved in the thing than just that area. Now, the treasury room, or the treasure room, was furnished with 13 boxes. They were kind of narrow at the mouth, according to most of the people I read after, were kind of narrow at the mouth and kind of widened out like this. They actually referred to them as like trumpet shaped. If you can imagine that one of these trumpets with the at the mouth is a little, you know, this way and then goes down. And that was kind of like it was. It was a mouth and then it widened out. And there were 13 of them, and they were specified for certain offerings. And one of those trumpet shaped boxes was for wood. People would bring wood for offering sacrifices on the burnt altar. They would use that wood. So there were just all kinds of purposes. And these boxes were for this kind of offering. And these boxes were for coins and monetary offerings. And this was a big deal, okay? Now, on this particular day, this day that we're reading about here actually begins in Mark chapter 11 and verse number 27. It goes all the way back to verse number 27. And they come again to Jerusalem. And as he, Jesus, was walking in the temple, okay? So Jesus comes into Jerusalem in Mark 11, 27, and he walks into the temple. Now, from 11, 27 to chapter 12, verse 12, he was having a dialogue with the scribes and the chief priest and the elders. They had questioned him about his authority. And Jesus told them some parables. And guess what? It made them mad. Can you imagine that? It made those guys mad. And they left in their anger on their heels. In chapter 12, verse 13 through 17, here came the Pharisees and the Herodians. And they were sent by some to catch Jesus in His words. That is a futile pursuit, friend. You're not going to box the Lord Jesus in a corner. So they came. In chapter 12, verses 18 through 27, the Sadducees came to Christ. And they questioned Him about the resurrection because they didn't believe in the resurrection. In chapter 12, verse 28 through 34, one of the scribes came to question Him about the first commandment, which is the first and great commandment. You've read that passage, no doubt. In chapter 12, verses 35 through 40, Jesus asserted His deity. And He warned about the doctrine of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then, after Jesus did all of that, you get to verse 41. Jesus went and sat by or over against the treasury. He sat down. which meant he intended to stay for a while. When you make a visit on somebody, if you're not going to be there long, you probably stand through the visit. If you're going to stay for a little bit, you sit down. So Jesus, he sat down over against the treasury, including to stay there and watch for a period of time. And he went there, the Bible says, to behold how the people cast money into the treasury. He went there to observe their giving. That's what it says. Now, folks, don't be misled for 1 minute to think that God is not interested in our giving. He's very interested in our giving. Don't think that giving is some second or third, rung on the ladder type matter in the Christian life. There are so many other things that are far more important than that matter. No, we've already talked about that in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul told those Corinthian people, he challenged them, he said, you see that you grow in this grace also, this grace of giving. So God is interested. The Lord Jesus went to watch how the people gave. He'd been in the temple a long time, been there for some time, had answered a lot of questions, entered into dialogue with a lot of people, and he soon would leave. But before he left, he took some time to go sit in the room where the people brought their offerings to observe. And this is what he saw. I'll give you three things that he saw, and we're done. First of all, number one, he saw the people. He saw the people. Look at verse number 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Now, folks, you stop and let that sink in just for a moment. What if tonight during the offering time I had come off of the platform and followed the ushers down the aisle and just watched as the offering plate went up and down the pews and behold how the people give? Don't be pious. Some of you would have been extremely upset. Even if you gave. What's he doing? And I wouldn't do that. Never done that. But the Bible says that Jesus went over to watch how they gave. He went to observe. Now, no doubt about it, Jesus is watching me and my giving, and Jesus is watching you and your giving. Let me remind you, in an unrelated story to this, in Acts chapter 5, that the Holy Ghost was there when Ananias and Sapphira entered into an agreement to lie about their giving. The Holy Ghost was there, and they ended up dying because they lied to the Holy Ghost, they lied to God. So Jesus went to behold the people. And the Bible says, when he was there, that he beheld the rich. And so as Jesus goes to watch how the people give, the rich come in. Now, the word rich is a relative term. It is a term of material wealth and possessions. To compare most of us in this room to those who live in Palm Beach, California, or Jupiter Island, Florida, where I have been because my friend Jim Blaylock pastors in Jupiter, Florida, and you cross a little channel and you go to Jupiter Island, which they tell me is the most expensive real estate in the continental United States, Tiger Woods. We watched the house. We didn't watch it. We saw a house that was going up that he was building because you can't get on there with less than $40 million. But I wouldn't have Tiger Woods' money and his problems for all the wealth in the world. But comparatively speaking, people who live on Jupiter Island, Florida, people who live in Palm Beach, California, when you compare them to us, we would not be considered rich. But when you compare us to people who live in remote villages and rural Africa and tribal people who just are existing from day to day to day, then everybody in this room would be considered rich. Everybody. Jesus went to behold how the rich people gave. The word means full. The word means abundant. Now let me say something tonight about this. God is not against those who are full. God is not against those who have abundance. God is not against those who are rich in the material possessions and wealth of this world. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Living in, now it's a little bit less socialistic now in American thinking than it was under the former president. But the prevailing attitude toward people who have money in this country is that they're evil. You cannot buy into that. That's not biblical thinking. Okay? That's socialistic thinking. People who are wealthy have had advantages and perks and things that we didn't get that we deserve and we're entitled to, even though we may not work near as hard as they have. So you can't buy into that mentality, folks. That's not a biblical mentality. God is not against people having money. God's not against people having wealth. God's not against people having material possessions as far as this world goes. By the way, you're going to read these verses. You're not going to read one negative word about how or what the rich people gave. I'm careful about what I say there. Not one negative word about how or what they gave. There is a realistic observation made by Christ. But he did nowhere in this passage condemns them for having money. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the prevailing mentality in our country. It's prevailing. It's not right, not biblical, okay? So he beheld how the rich people gave. What am I saying? He beheld how those who were full and had means, that they that had abundance, he beheld how they gave. He also beheld how the poor gave. It says he beheld the people. The widow woman, before days of entitlements, before days of giveaways and handouts, obviously left behind by the death of her husband, maybe no sons to help support her. No doubt she was alone probably in the world. And Jesus said in one place, the poor will be with us always. And here she was in the magnificence of the temple complex in this treasury building. Here came the poor lady. She had very little. The rich and the poor. And those in between, God sees us all. Now, here's one thing I want to point out to you about the people. Verse number 41, the Bible says that Jesus beheld how the rich people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And then verse 42 says, a certain widow. So you know what that tells me, folks, about the people who came into the treasury to give that day? The majority of them were full. The minority were poor. When I look at the membership of Faith Baptist Church, that's how I see it. I don't know. I don't count the offerings. I don't record the giving on the computer for tax purposes, for those of you who use it as a tax write-off. But that's how I see. I've been in many of your, if not all of your homes. We've fellowshiped, interacted. I don't see Faith Baptist as full of people who are poor. When you compare us to the majority of the world, most of us are full. Most of us are. God, doesn't mean we're overrunning with wealth. Doesn't mean bank accounts are through the roof and money is being piled up and piled up and piled up. But rich is a relative. Listen, I don't know what it means to be poor. I don't know what it means to be rich in the worldly sense of the term. I never, ever was hungry as a boy because of a lack of money. Now, maybe you were. Maybe some of you were. But I never was hungry as a boy because of a lack of money. And that was before the days of all the things that are available from our government today. Okay. I never was without a place to sleep. At Christmas time, there was always a gift or two. There was never a Christmas where, like my grandmother, we got a shoebox with an apple and an orange and two pieces of hard candy. I will submit to you this, folks. There are more poor people in the mountains of Tennessee and Kentucky than there are in the ghettos of Chicago. Real poor people. I mean, where their Christmas consists of a piece of candy, an apple, and an orange. That's it. That's how my grandmother was raised. She was raised in a shack, two rooms, where the snow, when it snowed in the mountains of Tennessee, blew in through the cracks. That's how she was raised. They grew their food. They grew their food in the garden. And they didn't have... Now, I never went hungry because Mom and Dad didn't have money to put a meal on the table. We didn't eat out. I remember when they came in with McDonald's. It was a big deal to go down there. And I think in those days, your choice was a hamburger, a cheeseburger, or a fish sandwich. That was it. You could get some fries and you could get an orange or something like that, an orange drink. And we didn't eat out. Once in a while, we went to the... I can still see it in my mind's eye. I can't remember the name of it. A little bitty old brown clapboard restaurant we would go to once in a while. And believe it or not, as a boy, we'd go, there was a big deal, and oftentimes I would get liver and onions. Yeah, that's what I'd get. I love liver and onions, man. I'll tell you, you can't beat it. If it's cooked right, man, alive. Delicious. Thank you, Brother Bibbs. Amen. You know, amen, brother. That's right. Turnip greens and the whole nine yards. It's called soul food, folks. Amen. You don't have to be black to enjoy it, okay? It's got to have a little black in you. I'm serious as a heart attack. That's what I would get, liver and onions. And then once in a while, like for my 18th birthday, my folks had a big party at the Varsity. Some of you folks been through Atlanta, you stopped at the Varsity there, had a chili dog. And look, we weren't rich in the sense of fancy this and fancy that and overflowing with all this, but we weren't poor. We were full. We had what we needed. And that's what I see in the membership of Faith Baptist Church. I think that's what the Lord Jesus... Many who were rich, most of the people who entered in the treasury that day were what could be termed as rich. That doesn't mean they were running over with money, but they had what they needed. They were full. They were living in a decent state of living. And there's this one woman who came in, and she was poor. So He saw the people. Now, number two, what else Jesus saw in this passage, this little experience at the treasury, He not only saw the people, He saw how much they gave. Verse 41 says that the rich cast in much. And verse 42 says that the widow cast in her two mites. Now, did they both give? Yes. They both gave. It's not that the rich didn't give, they did. And it's not that those of us who are at Faith Baptist Church who are what I want to call full don't give. I believe the most of the people in this church who are full have what you need. You give. But Jesus saw what they gave. He saw what they put in that trumpet-shaped little box, whichever one they went to. And then Jesus also saw what the poor woman gave. And you know what? Let me just say this. Every gift, no matter what size, how small, every gift is noted by God. Every gift. And you kids that have had these little plastic pigs in your homes these last 4 or 5 months, and you've been taking your quarters and your pennies and your dimes and sticking those nickels and those pennies and so forth in those pigs, and it's a good thing, it's a fun thing for you to do, and you enjoy it, I want you to know that God takes note of every coin you stick in those pigs. He misses nothing. He misses nothing. You say it doesn't amount to a whole lot. Financially, her two mites didn't amount to a whole lot. But Jesus saw what she gave. And we ought to teach our children how to give. I like what Winston Churchill said. Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." I don't think Winston Churchill was saved, but that's a biblical principle. So He beheld the people. He saw how much they gave. But number three is where I want to spend the rest of my time this evening. Not only did He see the people, not only did He see how much they gave, but He saw what was left. He saw what was left. Look at verse number 43. "He called unto Him His disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now that's what Christ said. For all they did cast in of their abundance, their fullness. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You see, folks, God judges giving by a different formula than we do. God judges proportionately. God judges proportionately. He called those fellows over. He said, "Did you see that?" And if I'm guessing, if I'm like one of those guys, James, John, Peter, Andrew, Matthew, I'm probably saying, "Yeah, man, did you see that chunk that one guy threw in?" And Jesus said, "Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is those two mites." And Jesus said, "She gave more than all the others." More. You know, folks, the rich came, they gave, they were still full. When they left, they were still full. The widow came, she gave. When she left, she was empty. It didn't really hurt the rich. They came full, they went away full. Maybe just a little less than before, but basically still full. They still had their budgeted funds. They still had their savings accounts. They still had their investments. They really had not sacrificed. Now, don't turn me off. Okay? Because I'm not about to ask you or even me to give everything we have. But I'm making a point here. The same point that Jesus made to these disciples. The rich came, they gave, they still had their budgeted funds because not only could Jesus see how much they gave, He knew how much was left. The widow came with what she had, all that she had, and she left with nothing. She came in her want, she gave her living, and she left with nothing except the commendation of Jesus Christ. Out of all those people who came in that day, Jesus said the widow woman had given the most. Now that's what Jesus saw. He saw the people, he saw what they gave, and he saw how much was left. Let me tell you two things that Jesus did not see in this instance. He did not see equal giving. Are you with me? When I say equal giving, he did not see equal amount. That's not possible. Those fellas that threw in quantity-wise far more than the widow's two mites. There was not equal giving. He did not see equal giving. I don't think Jesus is interested in equal giving at Faith Baptist Church, but I want to tell you something else he did not see. He did not see equal sacrifice. And I think that's what Christ wants to see. It's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. Those of you that were here through the Vision Unlimited programs, those 6 years back in the 90s and the turn of the century there, 2000, you will remember that was the theme of those programs. Not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. When it came to equal giving, the widow could not keep up with what those other fellows gave. But when it came to sacrifice, she blew them off the water. And that's what it takes for a church to move ahead and put buildings up. What it takes for a church to move ahead and put an educational building up. It's what it takes for a church to move ahead and retire a debt ahead of schedule and save thousands of dollars of interest that can be put to use somewhere else in God's work. It doesn't take equal giving. It takes equal sacrifice. That's why, you know, in a couple of weeks, not only are we going to bring our pigs into the market, but I'm going to encourage you. I did 2 weeks ago. I'm here again tonight. I cannot let the situation with the folks. I cannot let this get lost in that situation because this is the moment, this is the time. The emphasis is coming up. In 2 weeks, we're going to be bringing our pigs into the market. And also on that night, I've asked you 2 weeks ago to pray about entering into a weekly commitment like you do your faith promise giving. Some of you give to missions weekly. And many of you have found out that you can give more to missions over the long haul by giving in smaller increments than trying to save up a big chunk. And I'm asking you to do the same thing for the building, to retire the debt. And I'm not asking everybody to give the same thing. I'm just asking everybody, can you sacrifice a little? Can you sacrifice a little? See, folks, and some of you remember this in years gone by, but if I were to stand up here and say, hey, folks, listen, I'm going to ask you to do something for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, whatever. What about giving $10 a week to debt retirement building fund, whatever you want to call it. It's on the envelope. It says building. So $10 a week. And I give you that figure. There are people in our church who are families who pretty much their houses are paid for. Their kids are grown. They've moved out. They've had good jobs. They've put some away and tucked some away. And God's not against that. God's not against that. And you've got some tucked away. And you know what? God's blessed you and you've been faithful to give. And you sit in the service and you hear, let's say at the end of the week, at the end of your week, and this is, I'm just using round numbers, at the end of your week, you have $100 left of undesignated funds. Most time you throw it into a savings account and get a little bit maybe invested over here, whatever you do. $100 a week. Pastor Angel asks the church members to give $10 a week to the building. You sit down on Saturday night to write out your tithe check. You say, you know what? Pastor asked us to consider giving $10 a week. That's not a big thing to me. I love the Lord, love the church. I want to be involved in it when I can, where I can. And so you take out of that $100 that's extra, you take $10 and you give it to the building. Did you do what the pastor asked? Yes. Out of that $100, how much did you give? 10%. Here's somebody else in the church, not as far along as that group. Maybe they still got a kid at home. Maybe they still got a couple of kids still trying to pay off the last bit of a mortgage. At the end of their week, they've got $50 of undesignated funds. $50. They listen to the pastor, ask for $10 a week for the building fund, for the retirement, and they sit down on Saturday night to write out their tithe check, and they put the general fund, and oh yeah, that's right. Pastor asked us to consider giving $10 a week to the building fund. Well, I've got this 50 undesignated money, so, you know, I can give 10 out of that. So they gave 10 out of the 50. How much did they give? 20%. Here's a young couple. Got kids in school. Not far along in their house and so forth. At the end of their week, they got $20. Undesignated funds. They hear the pastor ask for $10 a week. Sit down to write the tithe check on Saturday night. General fund missions. Oh boy, pastor asked us to give $10 a week. Boy, that's cutting it close. I got $10 of undesignated funds available. Wow. But you know what? I love the Lord. Love the church. I want to get involved. And so you know what? Hey, honey, we're going to do this and trust God. So out of $20, they've given 10. How much have they given? 50. Here's a widow, single woman, single young man, college student, got an income. At the end of their week, they got $10 of undesignated money. 10 bucks. They sit down on Saturday night. Single mother with a couple of children, maybe. They look at their tithe, their missions. Boy, pastor asked us to give 10 extra dollars. I know I'm going to have to go by and buy an extra gallon of milk this week. I've got to go by and pick up some medicine that's not going to be covered by the prescription plan. I can't give all 10. I'm going to give 7. So they write $7 extra in their check, tithe check. They come to church on Sunday morning, put it in the plate and feel guilty. Because they couldn't do what the pastor asked and given 10. They gave 7 out of 10. How much did they give? So who gave the most? Listen, God is not against our houses. God's not against our vehicles. God's not against your 401k. God's not against that stuff. Get that out of your mind. That is not biblical thinking. That is socialistic thinking. Somebody has it, and I deserve it as much as them, and they ought to give me part of what they got. That's socialism. It's out of hell. Has no place, should have no place in America. None. God's not against all those things. But when it comes to special offerings, special things, God would like to see equal sacrifice. Equal sacrifice. I can't tell you what to do. I'm not going to. Wouldn't matter if I did. But God can put something on your heart if you're willing. If you're willing. I had in my mind to look and see what percentage of folks give consistently to the building fund, and I just forgot about it with everything going on. But really, it doesn't matter. But I think it's a smaller percentage of people in the church than it used to be. Part of it is I just haven't pushed it. I haven't emphasized it. I haven't challenged you. But I am now. We are in sight. We are we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel yet, but it's around the corner. We're moving, we're motoring and getting this debt retired. And it can get done in a couple, 3 years if we just had folks say, you know what? I'm willing and I will pinch myself a little bit. I'll pinch myself a little bit to give above the tithe. And if you're already giving to me, I'm not talking about robbing Peter to pay Paul. But I'm talking about equal sacrifice. It would not hurt us to hurt once in a while. And folks, can I just give you a personal testimony? God really doesn't let us get hurt. He really doesn't. That's how He works. He might test us a while. He might try us a little bit. But we really don't get hurt. Because you can't outgive Him. So I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Lord. Just in your prayer time, driving to work, around the house, just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? This is a little something special at the church for a while. I'm not even going to put a time period on it. If you could do it for a year or 2 years, that would be wonderful. But I would love to see us bump up our monthly giving to the building so that we could continue to send a little bit more over to the bank to get that thing down, 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 down. I have no intention of going anywhere. None. I feel good. I think I'm in good health. I want to pastor Faith Baptist Church as long as my mind and my health can be a blessing to Faith Baptist Church. I'm not going anywhere. This is not me rushing to get this debt paid so that I can quit. But whenever that time comes, I think it's the right thing for us to hand it to the next guy debt-free. I really do. And it's not his debt. So pray about it. Ask the Lord what He'd have you do, and just follow His leadership, and just consider this little story. Folks, look, you didn't write the Bible, I didn't write the Bible, but that's in the book. And that's not there just to take up space. Because John said in his gospel, there were many things that should have been written that never were. This is here for a reason. You pray about it, you ask God what He would have you do, because He is interested. I think what He's interested in is more of our heart than our dollars. You pray about it. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for the day. I have so looked forward to this day. So looked forward to this opportunity to spend these moments with these people. I'm looking forward to slipping over to the gym and fellowshipping over there. Lord, please help us not to get lost in this very important matter that we're emphasizing this month. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be willing. Help us to talk to You. Help us at home to talk to each other. And Lord, may Your will be done in this area in the next 2 or 3 years. Thank You for this passage. It challenges us. In some ways, it steps on our toes a little bit, but that's okay. Thank You for the privilege to give to Your work. In Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just want to ask you tonight, even now where you sit, in your heart, just begin to speak to the Lord. Ask Him what He'd have you to do. Present yourself to Him and just follow His leading. If you're not saved, it's a great night to get saved. Any night's a good night to get saved. Baptized, join the church as you have talked to us. But the theme of the message tonight and this month is this matter we've talked about. May God help us to obey. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing the song of invitation.